Father, we ask for this second session for wisdom. We receive insight into your word. We are better people. Lord, every barrier, everything which really stands in the way of us receiving the word, we proclaim that in this atmosphere, it shall not stand, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at the practice of honor. The what? You know, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Christianity, in my line of work, there's what we call support functions. But there's something you are doing. It's called your main processes. Eh? What do? You say, we can say, okay, what's the main process of a church? We can say, to teach the word, make disciples. Then what are the support? So the support things you say, you put in music, you put in good sound, you put in a good venue. Those are support. They are very crucial to the discipling. But they are support. And they need attention. That example may not be the best analogy for what I want to talk about. When it comes to the word of God and the gospel, there is the glue, what I can call the glue to these things, there are what some people call principles, what they call, what's the other word they usually use? What they call, really they are the things that cement our beautiful doctrine, like we call it. They are also doctrine, but for instance, we've talked about the man in Christ, the new creature, understanding new creation, tongues, what. But all those things, there is a glue they need for their effectiveness. And one of those glues is understanding honor. Now, again, some of us have had honor the wrong way. I've only known honor in giving pastors money or giving them lavish things. But you know, honor is beyond that. There is an honor for each other that perhaps sometimes has not been given quite the same attention. And this month I want to highlight that. Now Pastor Nainka says something which I believe is true. He says, if you will maintain the things of the Spirit working in your meetings, you must teach honor as often. What that means is that there must be a culture of honor for there to be a free flow of the things of the Spirit as often as possible. I told someone something. I told him, do you know someone can leave their church where their pastor has power to heal them, and they'll go to another man of God and they get healing? Do you notice, like, if Benny Hinn, a renowned evangelist, came to Uganda, he may do more miracles than perhaps one of our pastors here in Uganda. Not mainly because he has a special anointing, but because the people who are going for that meeting, there is an honor they are going to attach to him that enables them to receive. Yeah. Because there is an expectancy people attach when they go to that meeting. As opposed, and I'm going to show you this in the scriptures, as opposed when it is someone they know. Sister Amber, allow me to put you on the spot. I don't know how easy it is for your husband to minister to you as much as he ministers to the other people in the church. Like, other people in the church may find that your husband is the greatest teacher they have ever known. But you are doing like, what? This one. So we have things like that. Because, you know, there's a church I went to pray last Friday for overnight. The way they received me, I said, please, I'm just a believer who has come here to pray with you. I've not come as apostle, as what. I just came. I said, sir, man of God. But, you know, it may not be the same with my own here. You know? But why? And you know those things I want to show you so that you become better recipients of the grace of God. Hallelujah. And I want you to be very open-hearted to these things. And let's start from Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to show you something that may shock you, but they are true. The practice of honor. This is for everyone, including me. Matthew 28, verse 18. Look at this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So the key word there is Jesus is sending his disciples to make disciples. To make disciples. Mathetes. Or mathetuo. Okay, that's a Greek word there. Disciples. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. That word refers to a learner. Okay? Someone who's learning from you. It's not exclusive to a spiritual setting, but it just refers to someone who is learning. I think in the other sense they call it an apprentice. Right? Is that the word they use? Someone who is learning from you. A disciple. But for someone to learn from you, that means you are training them. So Jesus was telling the disciples, go into the world and train men. Do not just convert them. What does he say? He says, train them. So in that training, they must be teaching. Okay, this is done like this. You don't do like that. You do like this. This is how we pray. This is how you study the word. This is how you reach out. This is how you evangelize. This is how you walk in love. This is how you walk in forgiveness. This is how. So they are training men. They are teaching men. Okay? The word is a learner. So in the training, it does not stop at you believing the gospel. And this discipleship does not end until you end. Okay? The growing does not end. In 2 Timothy 4:13, Paul said, continue. Is that one? Continue in the things which you have learned of me. Knowing whom you have learned from. So Paul taught Timothy, and then he told him to continue. I don't know, Brother Victor, if you taught someone drums, just taught them kicking and then then just said stop. Like, I think they have to continue, right? They have to continue to do it a certain way. They have to continue to keep the count. If it's singing, maybe to watch their breath or to watch whatever. So they continue. Like, it's not something you start. I was a disciple 20 years ago. Who are you now? No, now I'm an overseer. The learning does not stop. Okay? It continues. So Jesus sent men to do something. Please stay with me. Jesus sent men to teach, to instruct, to equip saints. And he called that making disciples. Hallelujah. And because he sent those men, he put his honor on them. All authority is given unto me, I send you. He sent them to do a work. And because he sent them to do a work, his honor is on them. Now, culturally, we have what we call honor. There's what we call culture honor. We know how to honor elders. We don't speak back at elders. You know, there are those things we know. But that's not what we are teaching. And it would be sad if you know how to honor elders and you don't know how to honor spiritual people. Okay? We're going to look at it the biblical way, how it was. So Jesus sends men, and when he sends them, his honor is on them. That word honor means to regard, okay? And means to respect. The The implication is on what is valued or should be valued. Okay? So we're looking at it in that context. What is valued? What should be valued? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, and we can choose to accept this honor or to reject it. Let's go to John chapter 5. Now, again, like that man of God noticed, he said, he found out and he realized that in many word churches, there is always dishonor. There is always disregard. There is always a lack of value. I don't know why, by the way. Pastor Ronald, I don't know if you know why. I don't know if it's because we think we are right with God. Or we are all man in Christ. Or we are all righteous. I don't know what causes us to be like that. But in traditional churches, they know how to regard. They know how to attach value. They know how to put respect. Let me tell you, God cannot honor meetings we are not honoring. Okay? John 5:22. Look at this. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father which hath sent him. Do you see that? He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father that sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Okay, let me just stop there. Can you imagine Jesus says, the Father has committed judgment unto me. He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. Now we are calling that delegated authority. Remember where we started from? Jesus sent. So he sent his disciples. If you do not honor his disciples, you are not honoring Jesus. Can we say that? Because it's saying, if you do not honor the Son, you are not honoring the Father. It doesn't matter how much you say, I love the Father. It doesn't matter how much you sing to the Father. But the person he has sent, have you regarded or have you disregarded? Now, believers, I want us to notice, to note these things very well. Because you know the truth is, there has been a lot of hypocrisy on this thing. You know why? Because if you know how to do it for one person and you don't do it for another, it is hypocrisy. You know, you can say, me, I don't prostrate. I don't know how many of you, if you stood before Pastor Robert Kayanja, would refuse to prostrate. I don't know how many of you stand before Pastor Godwin. Says, Pastor, what's up? But you see, we have not yet got there yet. So what does that mean, man of God? That means, what's the word called? What's the first word I used? Hypocrisy. Okay. You're going to love this one. It's not really rebuking, but it is instructive. You're going to love it and you need it. Okay? So if you disregard the Son, you disregard the Father. If you disregard the one who has sent, you disregard the one who? This is why, now I want you to write this. This is why the choice of men God uses is of high regard. The choice of men God uses is of high regard because when God sends them, his honor is on them. Can you see? The choice is of high regard because his honor is on them. Do you know, before Jesus picked the 12 disciples, he prayed the whole night? How many of you know that? Before Jesus picked the 12 disciples, he prayed the whole night. The reason he puts a lot of attention on praying is because he knew their honor was going to be on them. What did I say? The honor of the men he uses, his honor is on the men he uses. Amen. Can I say that again? The honor of God is on the men he chooses and the men he sends. Men read also women. Okay? Now let's look at another example. In Acts 1 chapter 20, because we never notice how serious this was. In Acts 1 20, when they were going to replace Judas, let's read verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Bishopric, that's a new good word. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time, that is, that the Lord Jesus went in and among us, verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who is surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Look at this. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the heart of men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Can you imagine? They first put a criteria for who can replace. That criteria was that that person had to be there from the baptism of Jesus until the end, even the 40 days of his resurrection. And so there are a people who met that criteria. Okay? And then from that criteria, they went ahead to pray. And in that prayer, they said they let God choose among these men. God, who is it? So the choice of men God uses is of high regard. The reason they are praying is because God's honor is going to be on them. Praise the Lord. So these are not just going to be mean men. They are men, but they are not ordinary men. They are women, but they are not ordinary women. Okay? Remember in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, a bishop must not be a novice. You look at, there are those characteristics. A bishop must not be a novice. That means he must not be a muiga. And what was the reason for novices? They get carried away by pride. So he said, they must not be an novice. What do you think was the reason why they said, this man must have been with us from the beginning? Because that man has learned some things. Hallelujah. Why? Because the office is an office of what? The office is an office of? Thank you. Now look at Acts chapter 6. This is choosing deacons. Now Pastor Godwin has gone through these things like last month. His focus may not have been this, but this we all went through. Look at this. Peter says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, I want you to know this. People who are going to choose leaders, that you must watch people. Can you imagine? The first guys chose someone they watched. People of honest report, do they give? Sometimes they need your giving records. Do you give? Are you attending Christo Academy? That is the report. Do you beat your wife? Or does your wife beat you? Because that is also a revelation. Paul said they must have a good report without. How are you at your workplace? That is a report. Your family. So they can look. Don't say it's all just spirit. No. No. There is a part of the flesh where I look at desert. I had a man of God, for them they have a register for their prayer meeting. Why are you telling us to sign a register for the prayer meeting? Because the time is going to come when we need to recommend you. Me, I told someone, and I don't hide it. There are people I knew, they were my friends. But if any sister came and asked me about them, I would say don't. And even them, they know that I cannot advise a sister to be with you. And they pray in tongues. But I know them. I've not cast them out, but I cannot advise. That is the report. Alternatively, there are some sisters I also know. Some of them are even discipled them. But if a brother came and was asking for a green light to attack, I'll say leave that one. She's still sitting at Jesus' feet. Amen. And that's why you know people, man of God, not so. You ask. There are some people who come to a pastor and they say you want to get married, and the pastor will say wait. There are others who come and the pastor will say go ahead. There is a report. Okay? So they were to choose men of honest report. Do you know what is amazing? So they get a sieve. They say, okay, brother so and so and sister this and this, they have all been coming to Bible study. They have attended Bible seminar. Okay, let's call them. Now let's pray. Do you see that? Let's pray. Do you see that God cannot lead us to someone who has not had a good track record? We have already eliminated that one. And then they come in, and then now with their hands. Praise the Lord. That, I'm not saying God uses perfect people. Please, do not get me wrong. But I'm saying that there are offices that some things are in place. And pastors know these things anyway. But the point I want to highlight is that these are offices of honor. Because when you stand there, you represent God. Do you know every time maybe a pastor does something wrong, do you know they always come at all born again? Have you ever noticed that locally? Last week I was playing basketball with some guy. He told me, "But Pastor Muli Baferi." I asked him, have you ever sat under me? No. I asked him, how many pastors do you know? He said, "If you didn't say, have a singer." I said, "How many?" I told him, because when the newspaper puts up the ones who have done wrong, how many do you see every week? Do you know how many pastors are in the world? So where do you get your statistics that many pastors? But you see, when they say believer, they put it on the wall. That's why the office was an office of honor. And that's why there were certain criteria. Some people actually believe that the reason Simon Peter was chosen was because he was the oldest to lead. He was... Age is not maturity. But there's a degree of maturity that comes with age. Right? Age is not maturity, but there's a degree of maturity that comes with age. Am I right on that one? So sometimes people would choose older people. I know pastors, they just don't like ministers who are not married. And I like their reason why. As long as you want to stand in front of their pulpit, they make sure you are married. I cannot dispute it. They have a good reason. Because it is an office of honor. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, marriage is not the honor, but you understand. There is a certain report married people will have. Am I right, married people? There is a certain... Because you're married. which some of us single people may not have. Amen. Now, so after that, after they brought those people, they prayed for them. In Acts chapter 6, verse 6, they prayed for them and laid hands on them. Why? Because it's an office of honor. Now in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said, lay hands on no man in haste. That was not mean that when you have a prayer line and you're laying hands, to papa. No, what it means is, do not put a man into position hastily. Someone is saying, why is it only you people that preach? One day, when you start preaching, I used to have the same thing before. All of us think, when you start to do it, and you put a person there, that is when you know it is a position of responsibility and a lot of honor. I think Pastor Godwin used to say that, when I put you in front there, I have opened you up. I don't know how I used to put it. I have opened you up for arrows. Some of the slander you have, we have, some of you cannot bear it. You can lose your faith. But you may never know. One time I gave a brother that responsibility. Actually, for me, that is the situation that taught me how not to rush to lay hands on people. I had stood in front and I said, I trust this brother. And yet the brother was. Yes. And I didn't know. But you see, sometimes what that implies to the people who know, who are there, they're like, these guys are the same. In fact, there's a guy I used to work with, I didn't know what he was doing. I think some people hated me from there because they thought I was doing the same thing because I was walking with him. Now, of course, I never kick away someone because they are weak or they are. But even when Pastor Godwin maybe would say this brother should do A, B, C, D, they would think Pastor Godwin is supporting it. I think sometimes that's the issue of being a pastor. People don't know that you're using people who are weak. I swear I saw that guy yesterday. He was A, B, C, D. You know? It's a position of honor. In the moment they put you here to teach a Bible seminar, you cease being Sister, Brother Simon, Brother. You now become an Imitate Church pastor. And now you're representing Imitate Church. They see you eating Rolex on the road. We saw an Imitate Church pastor eating Rolex. In fact, they will say that church where the pastor eats Rolex on the road. Last week I was speaking to Pastor Darrell. And he was wearing shorts on the weekday. He was telling me, you know, these days I've stopped wearing shorts because I see people look at me like this. So he was saying, maybe you can. I told him I also can't anymore. I told him there was a time I could, but I have that picture. I came to church to lead service. I was wearing shorts. I can't do it now. I said, because now I am apostle. I'm not Brother Paul doing announcements. There is someone who's going to come and say, but this church, they don't respect God. You, it may be okay with you. How can they preach with shorts? They are not honoring God's house. There is a person, a dress code ministers too. Yes. When I come on Bible seminar in a suit, there are people who receive better. I swear, you are joking. There are people who receive better. Hey, that's a man of God. Hey, God, these guys just come with jeans. Now, you may see Pastor Godwin in jeans, but Pastor Godwin has built his. Some of us are still winning our way into people's hearts. No, honestly. Pastor Godwin gets away with it, with damaged jeans. I cannot get away. Even you cannot allow me. But there is a degree of, he has earned it. I mean, 17, 16 years in the ministry, he earns the right maybe to put on what he wants. Your own, who are you? So I saw some young boy there. He was disrespecting the house of God. He knows the word, but honestly, people talk like that. Yeah. He knows the word, but he's very arrogant. That's what they will say. But what makes them think you're arrogant? You put on jeans. So until you are also 15 years in ministry, you wear what people receive. Amen. Why? Because it is an office of honor. If I'm standing here, I'm representing this church. I'm standing under the authority of Pastor Godwin. If you disregard me, you are disregarding Pastor. Amen. Remember, you're looking at practical honor. Amen. So, the ministries are ministries of honor. And I want you to start looking at when you're serving in an office of honor. So you regard it with honor. Amen. Even salvation is honor. God honored you with salvation. Which Greek word did I teach you? Forgiving, which is to bestow honor. Ephesians 2:8. What was the Greek word? You can remember the Greek word and I buy them lunch. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. This is a gift of God. Of course they had lunch. So it remember, it's a word of to bestow honor. So salvation is God bestowing honor on us. So you are honorable. Say, I'm honorable.
I'm honorable.
Amen. So God's honor is on me. Salvation is God bestowing honor on you. So your neighbor is honorable. Say, you are honorable.
Honorable.
Tell them.
You're honorable.
Now look at this. Listen to this. The greatest challenge, or the greatest, I love this statement. The greatest challenge, or the greatest cause of dishonor, should be the reason for honor. I'm going to explain what I mean. The greatest challenge, or the greatest reason why people dishonor, should be the reason why people, in fact, should honor. And that reason is humanity. Do you know what that means? What makes you stumble over honoring someone? It's because of their humanity. Maybe their weakness. You don't like the way they speak. You don't like the way they put on, right? Or you don't like the family they came from. But the Bible tells us that that reason should be why you honor them. Like you say, the fact that maybe Pastor Ronald speaks a certain way, but God chose him, I am going to honor him. The fact that brother so-and-so may not have good English, but God is using him, I am going to honor him. Instead of stumbling over his humanity, it is the very reason that you honor him. Bill Johnson made a statement about honor, I'll never forget it. He said, honor is to see a man by who they are and not stumble over what they are not. Amen? No, he said, to see what God made them to be without stumbling over what they are not. Isn't that amazing? For us, naturally we think that the most likable people, the most honorable people, should be the ones we honor. The Bible says, the ones who seem dishonorable, but because my spirit is in them, honor them. Wow. That disturbs people. The thing that disturbed people about Jesus, do you know what it was? It was because he was a man. Do you know, Pastor God, that's what the only issues the Jews had with him is because what? Was a man claiming to be God. Let's see this. Matthew chapter 22 verse 41. Now I need to go a bit fast because of time. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he?" They said unto him, "The son of David." He said unto them, 44. He said unto them, 43. Matthew 22:43. He said unto them, "How then does David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then called him Lord, how is he the Son of God? Amen. So, he asked them, what do you say about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said, the Christ is the son of David. David is a man. Okay. So he asked them, why then does David call him Lord? If he is his son. Actually, that is the last question they ever asked him. You know why? Because if he's the son of David, he is a man. But if David calls him Lord, he is God. Right? So their issue is, how can a man be God? So, what is causing them to stumble is what is to cause them salvation. Because salvation is because God is a man. For them, they cannot see God as a man. So they dishonor. Look at John chapter 10. Are we together? John chapter 10 verse 28. Let me do what I can do. And then we'll push the rest. John chapter 10 verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." They said, "Shelah." That is blasphemy in Hebrew. I saw it in the movie. I don't know if that's what it means. He says, "Me and God are one." So a man, Jesus, was saying he is God. And this is why they took up stones to stone him. God became a man. This is where salvation is. And yet this is where they had an offense in him. In John 1:18 he says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him." Do you see that? God is a man. The Jews stumble over this. What are they stumbling over? Humanity. Humanity. And it is still the same issue today. People stumble over the men of God's humanity. Amen. One man of God said, people keep complaining, "Yes, he said the truth, but it is the way he said it." He asked them, "Why are you focusing on the way he said it? You facilitate to the truth and then come to the way he said it." Not so. "I don't like the way he dresses." What is he saying? Because he can dress well and he say other things. And you know, sometimes we are moved by those things. They don't have doctrine, but they are beautiful girls there. We let the things balance each other. There are people somewhere, they really know it's not the gospel, but they say the worship is good. Amen. Now, is your spiritual growth dependent on the keys of the singers? Then I would go and attend Travis Green's church because it's one of my best voice-wise. Right? The average believer stumbles over things that are immaterial. People can leave a church because the pastor didn't mention their birthday. No, don't laugh. People do. I am leaving. Why? They don't care about me. Why? They didn't announce my birthday. They don't care about you. Do they teach you every week the right thing? Yes. Have they stolen your money? No. Do they want you to pray? Yes. Are they helping you to live better with your family? Yes. But what? They forgot my birthday. You know, I told someone something interesting. Do you know in this church, only one person has ever called me on my birthday? Me who teaches. One. As in fact, man of God, last time on my birthday, it was on a Saturday. I didn't have even enough money to find what to eat. On my birthday, Apostle's birthday, I had already taught Bible seminar and blessed lives on my birthday. I never, imagine I also left church. How many of you called me last week to ask me how I am? Look around and see the people who called me. Look at them. Okay, what about the whole month of Feb? Pastor, look at the people who called me the whole month of Feb. Even my disciples are here. Look. Why am I here? Now, imagine I also left, you don't care about me. Edward, you've not taken me out for 2 years. But you see, we just choose that. In fact, I like what Brother Edward told me one time. He said, for me, the word is there. He left ambience, he left word. He said the word. Please start judging us like that, please. We can't really be there for every event. In fact, the pastors of this church are very bad in social life. All of them. I think the best one is Pastor Victor. The rest are bad. If you are looking for an offense, I'm preparing you now. Pastor Godwin may not come for your wedding. Yet in his heart he wants. But it's not that they don't care. This is care. Amen. Now we are not complaining, but we are just saying, let's start to regard and put honor where there is honor. Imagine, Paul was greeting people in his epistles. Imagine he put there, send my greeting, my birthday messages to Junior. I also had girls in their family, they had a child. Say, tell them, we love them. Thank them for bringing a nice child into the home. Tell Justus, I heard that his rabbit gave birth. Wow. Do you see it in any of the letters? But do you see greetings? Greet so and so, greet so and so. These are believers. Hallelujah. You have never thought about it. Hey, I heard that Timothy passed his A levels. Tell Timothy he has read hard. Now, it is not bad. But that is not be a reason you judge if your pastor is good or not. Praise the Lord. Say that one, it has knocked me like Pastor Ronald. Amen. Honestly, we have some very hard working men of God here. And you may never know how much they go through to just. You know, sometimes Evangelist Bellamy walks here to prepare this church. You may never know. Do you know who cleans the toilets for you? Or you just monitor whether they are clean or not? Maybe it is an angel. Amen. So let's learn to. Like, now imagine you came and complained to him. Where were you? I waited for you on my birthday. You didn't show up. You don't love me and you threw a tantrum. You tell you, do you know that every week you sit on a clean toilet? You think it is you? Isn't that care? Amen. But just want to need to start seeing things differently. Hallelujah. Amen. So, look at this. They had not seen his humanity, but it was the reason for their salvation. And as a result, they stumbled. They stumbled because of his humanity. And you know, we are going to see that verse, that Jesus did not do many mighty deeds in his hometown. Can you imagine why? It's because they knew him. Jesus, we played temple together. You are now God. You, Jacob's son, carpenter, you even hit yourself with a nail the other day. Can God hit himself with a nail? Doesn't he know everything? How can God be a carpenter? At least if you were a doctor, who would have said? You know, we'll get to that. So they stumbled. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. I don't think I'll finish today, so let me just finish this one. P.S. I'm not saying you should call me and ABCD. I was just giving an example, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is what? To them that perish. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. Uses a figure of speech. The message of the gospel is like foolishness to them who are perishing. But unto us which are saved, or being saved, it is the power of God. Can you imagine? The power of God appeared as foolishness. God, a frail man? No. Then he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is he that is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the wisdom of God? Where is the dispute of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Wow. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of man. That word foolishness is the Greek word moros. Now you know the English word moron. Okay? Moros. It seems like foolishness. And that's why it is usually mostly the people who think are intellectual are the most atheist. Because the wisdom of God seems like foolishness, and God is saying their wisdom is foolishness. Morons. When it comes to understanding salvation and the spiritual, that is morons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, and this is why, and you see that word morons has its root there in that Greek word mosterion. Okay? Down is something that requires an explanation. And this is why you cannot equate what is wise in the world to the wisdom of God. Do you know which? You know we always do that? You go to workers' house and you say, aha! See God! Have you ever done that? You see a nice thing and say, oh, see God! Right? This guy must have God somewhere. He just doesn't know it. We even create for them. But God says, do not use that to show what my wisdom is. My wisdom seems like foolishness. I will become like a man and I will die. How can God die? They will ask. It's foolishness. If you are all powerful, why don't you just come and just deal with your enemies with the flip of a finger like Thanos, and half of your enemies vanish. Ah, see God. He has an infinity ring. You see? That's what we think. But that's not the wisdom of God. Look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Look at verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Isn't that shocking? He says, you know what it means? It's like, Oprah is smart. She's not born again. Hawkins just died. Very smart man, physicist. Was not born again. Wise man. And there are some noblemen now who are saying maybe Jesus didn't die in the religious. So, not many wise. Why? So it will confound. It will confound them. Okay? That word confound in verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The word confound means to disappoint. Do you know what that means? That means God's choices in the natural are disappointing. Right? Okay, honestly, listen. If it was the way the natural go, if you were to choose your team, you are the God. If you were to choose your team, you'd look for the best doctors. You look for the best lawyers. And those are the ones you would save, right? But Paul is asking, do you see there are very many wise people who are not called? The implication of calling is they are not born again, they are not saved. And God uses this to disappoint. To disappoint the world. Because the way his kingdom works is different. Can you imagine? Listen, God's choices in the natural are disappointing. God's wisdom can be disappointing. Do you know what that means? Now, I want every believer to know this. What God chooses in the natural may not make sense to you. Please, make peace with that. Make peace with the fact that God does not consult you before he chooses any man. That one is a good point. God does not consult you before he chooses. He doesn't even need your opinion. Yours is to accept God's choice. Many people wrestle with this. Accept what? God's choice. In verse 28, he says, God has chosen the best things. Of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Wow. Wow. That word is agenis. The best things is agenis. A G E N E S. Do you see the word genes in there? And the article alpha, eh? When alpha is always put before another Greek word, it is to make it a negative. Or the opposite, eh? Agenis. A person without notable descent. Hallelujah. Agenis. A person whose family may not be notable. Those are the best things. He chose a Paul, like me. I don't know how many of you know my family. Okay? Best things to confound the wise. Again, God's choice, not your input. God's choice is for you to accept. Hallelujah. Listen. God's wisdom is different from man's wisdom. And so, we must not receive God's wisdom as man's wisdom. Can I say that again? God's wisdom, you gave up, Tanya? God's wisdom is different from man's wisdom. And we must never equate man's wisdom to God's. I like it. You know, there are preachers I know, they couldn't even speak English. And yet they went to preach abroad before people who had all the grammar in the world. They go with their translators. You with all your grammar, you are here. Now, you need to accept it. Otherwise, you develop a nugu. Amen? Because it is God's choice. It's not your... Preachers, alternatively, stop reminding us your disqualification. Because we now know it is not why you are chosen. Stop telling us, me who never went to school, me who never ate lunch, leave us alone. So we do what? No. We have realized it is grace, yes. Allow us, receive you in. Even us, we can see there is nothing much to you. But God, but God, we can see this is God. Like Daisy. Eh? You know, there are people you can see and you just know on Omukama. And them, like Jesus, there is no form of comeliness. Like this. It is okay. But it's usually us, the congregation, who wrestle with receiving people. I was telling him, I knew a man, okay, it's God's choice, but this one also is labors. The man can pray. The way the man could pray, I thought when he starts to teach, like I'm just going to see Rema floating like this. When that guy started preaching, I almost stumbled and fell. You know, like how David said, when I saw the righteous prosper, the heathen. I'm telling you, if you saw him pray and you heard him preach, you'd be like, the guy just stands, he says stories, he laughs, he doesn't speak very well. There is nothing nice about his preaching, but his congregation was fuller than me who had good grammar. So I just said, some things are by grace. I received it. It's actually very dangerous when people who are functioning by grace start to look down on people who don't have the same grace they have. I never put anyone on pressure to teach the way I teach. I could push you on pressure to teach what I teach because you heard it. But I cannot blame you for not knowing what I know. Because I realize there is a part of it which is grace. So, I know some ministers, they have very many people, they stand up and say, how can you be a man of God and you don't have a car? You leave us. We are coming. So they start to equate us. Did God call you? You are pastoring 20 people. If God is with you, you should have thousands. Don't listen to those lies. In fact, shut down those people. Because they are starting to brag about what they received by grace or by good skills. Because it can be both. Sometimes you can organize well and you have people. Other times you just have gifts the rest of us don't have. Allow us to receive you. And say, man of God, that one is your own. It is good. But you see, sometimes preachers will stand and say, in fact, before I entered the ministry, now that I'm in the ministry, last week I was in Canada, I went to Finland, I went to Australia. Then after that, they never say I went to Guru. Why? The anointing, you can't take it to Guru. There are places God will lift you and you will sit with kings. We are going to demystify most of those malaise. What do they mean by kings? The people who are well off in society. What do they call mean men? Believers who don't have enough man. And you see, I had this same thing again. And I want to say, you cannot have the Spirit of God and be poor. Who told you? There are people who are poor and they are more full of the Spirit than people who have much. Poverty is not a... The amount of wealth is not rating for both revelation, the favor of God, or spirituality. Do not let anyone lie to you. And you see, these people fail to put these things together. I think the top 10 richest men in the world, none of them speak in tongues. But you now you come and say, because we have God, we will be on top. Now you have never been on top. Why are you saying on top? You are not on top. You are not on top. Let me tell you, even if you have, because you know here it is relative. You tell people there are cars you are driving. Your Benz is also second hand. There are guys who buy cars every year. If they also came to brag, you would keep quiet. So it is relative, because you are here at Imitate, or we are driving Nadia, you cannot say, see grace. Please stop equating the things of the world to the things of the kingdom. And there's another phrase they used to use, even them, the world is doing this, we are not. This week, a prominent pastor in Nigeria shared a video of Kanye West. I don't know how many of you have seen that video. Kanye West is playing with some beats. It's called Church Something. He's playing with some church beats. You know, some wonderful beats. And then he puts, this is how the church should be like. Now you are laughing, but there were about 200 comments. I said, yes, pastor, I will never go to a church where they just put up a... This is how church should be like. The world is putting up lights. We are just here catching up. You are laughing. For us, we have been in a pastor's meeting where they were telling us that. They are telling us to follow the trends of millennials or 21st century. 21st century church. What is 21st century church? Tell me. Which one is 21st century church? 21st century church is the one which doesn't come with Bibles to church. They use iPads. So they're saying, you pastor, adjust. 21st century church doesn't like too much word. Use one scripture and give life lessons. You laugh. We know prominent pastors who are teaching these things to pastors. 21st, don't pray for 1 hour. Believers don't over engage them. Put a music, say, There are places, they are seeker sensitive. There are churches in America, maybe this has not gotten here. They start worship with a popular secular song. Yes. They start worship with a popular secular song so that the people don't feel left out, like the ones who have come in. Now, we started by calling them unchurched to appeal to the unchurched. Pastors started cutting their hair somehow, putting on skinny jeans and so on and so forth to attract, not because it was their preference, but to appeal. This man actually says, you cannot reach a generation whose what you don't understand or you can't relate with. So what do they mean? When you want to reach out to this generation, be like them. I come putting on, I don't know what those glasses are called. The ones which have no lenses. But yeah. So just appeal to them. Don't throw too much Bible on them. These things are being told to people. So this is the thing. The church is trying to chase the world. It is only this generation, by the way, which is thinking we are going to catch up to the world. The world wants to influence us. So that's why a pastor can say, this is what should be in the church. Which Bible verse tells us to take a cue from the world? The wisdom of the world is foolishness. What they consider wisdom, we consider foolish. When they say, how can you spend the whole night praying? For them it's foolishness, for us it's wisdom. We lakaya, pezeda, lo preda, the whole night. Why? Because our Lord prayed the whole night.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
I remember one time my dad phoned me in the morning to read the Bible. He said, Baby, you're reading a Bible, 20 fathers. My dad in the country, he said, are you a father? 20 fathers, why are you reading? I have never seen it. You are still a young man. Why are you going to church thrice a week? Foolishness! For us, it's the power of God.
Hallelujah.
It's in the gospel. Yeah. It is in those simple, stupid things to them that one man died, he resurrected, by one man we are made sinners, we came out. They might take it, but for us, it's power.
Amen.
And that's what the gospel is.
Yes.
For us to not understand the gospel in what is happening around, God has blessed that person. Why? Because now they sleep in a 7-bedroom apartment. You are sleeping in two. Brother, where is the blessing of God in your life? He said, has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am known in Him. That's your blessing. Money is good if you have it. Use it. Spend it. Give it. But in this church, we shall never equate it to spirituality. Let me even never hear you calling this anointing. If I ever hear you in this place, I will send you to the disciplinary committee. How can you call clothes anointing? How can clothes be anointing? What is anointing about clothes? A person is either smart or not smart. Period. Those are English adjectives. And then one person may be very smart. Yeah. Just say, man of God, you are very smart. I see. Good. Don't add on it. Tinaba mafuta. Amen. We have preferences. I mean, there are things we love. Sometimes we may joke, we call some things more New Testament than others. Let it remain in the realm of your jokes. Never rate believers on the basis of what they have. And because God did not regard... How many of you got born again because of your job? And God said, ha. Sero ya ina sente we mulokola walimba tuchibala mutaisi tachi yange nekula. Reach out to those ones. Eh? What about some of you were doctors? Ha, everyone is a doctor. God targets the doctors because... What is that supposed to mean? In fact, Pastor Nainka said that for them in their church, they never refer to anyone by their occupation. That if they hear you call someone doctor in church, you are in trouble. Brother, sister, pastor. Why? Because what about the one who doesn't have a noble profession? I'll go and say, Dr. Tracy. Mm-hmm. So what will I say when I reach Tanya? Yeah? Student standing. Do you see how indirectly you are creating a dishonor?
Yeah.
We don't regard any man after the flesh. We regard men in Christ. I'll continue this next week, but I want to tell you this. That the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. It's foolishness to the wise. They can't get it. They can't understand how laying on of hands works. Some don't believe a person can be healed. There's guys in there, Bomutu Mulema, Natambula. I'm a fair one. Namulema. Natambula. How can that happen? It's foolishness. How do I start explaining to him how a miracle works? But haven't you seen miracles? And they in the Bible? I believe them. I believe God over what society says. I believe God over what men say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come, let's just stand up and pray for about 2 minutes. We shall not regard any man after the flesh. Come on, we shall regard men as Jesus sees them, as men as God sees them. His honor is on them, and we look at them likewise.